Oh my my, we are back doing the Halloween Spooktacular for another week, and it's Urban Legend. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes, that is better.
Time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You sick fucks, you've seen one too many movies.
Nah, Sid! Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
What's the fucking
lotion
in the bag?
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Couldn't have done like a hook on the door, Chris, hook on the door. No.
Just let it go. Let it die.
How about Eric Legend? Rewind.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in. As always, that's right. It is the second to last Halloween Spooktacular episode. And I got to tell you, I'm already sad. One, because the Spooktacular is coming to an end. Two, because we're talking about Urban Legend from 1998, directed by Jamie Blanks.
Let me just say that you do not need to be sad, because some people might not know this, but right now, available on patreon.com/wehatemovies, is a full episode on Van Helsing.
What?
So your Spooktacular
could continue.
Exactly.
That's it.
Could continue tomorrow.
For some folks, the Spooktacular is 5 new episodes. For other smarter, better people, the Spooktacular is 6 episodes.
Eric, you said spoop, and I was wondering what spoop was.
I'm a little tired today, but I've
spoop. Sounds like a sloppy poop. Spoop.
Oh man, I went to my grandma's house and spooped all over the toilet. I didn't flush it. Sorry, grandma.
Oh man, I went to the theater to see Urban Legend. I spooped all over the screen.
It's a scary shit. It's like when you shit and you look down and you're just horrified, like, what did I eat?
It is a spooptacular.
Boy, I'll tell you what, this is the second time for me in like a month watching this movie. Because this was sort of like a late addition to the lineup. Sure. And fuck, man, what a struggle the second time around.
I think it's a fun movie, actually. I'm in the camp of fun movie.
Wow.
It's fun, but you know, it's still Urban Legend.
Oh, well, sure. What this movie is, if somebody took their love of urban legends a bit too far, which sounds a lot like the plot of Scream, which is somebody took their love of scary movies a bit too far. It's almost as if it's the same movie, just changing the thing.
That's an interesting idea. Yeah, that might work out.
You could do
actually.
That with anything, right? Like someone takes their love for rocks a little too far, and it's a geologist. Ooh, the geologist.
And everyone's just like, being postmodern about rocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't that just be My Bloody Valentine?
Oh, yeah, there's miners in that movie. Right.
Minor horror.
Well, I hope they continue. Well, I hope they get their jobs back first of
that's,
all. First
that's
of
true.
All.
I
first
hope
of all
I'm
of
bringing
them
back work to the haunted miners. I especially love the one that was in 3D.
We're going to give them spoops. Unlimited spoops. We're going to sign into the law. No, it's a subsidy for spoops.
Don't we love spoops, folks? Don't we love spoops?
I love golden showers and especially spoops.
Even Russia doesn't know it, but I love spoops more.
No one's got a tape of that yet.
I have special underwear for my spoops.
The Saudis might know about it, but you know, we're good.
You know what's weird? The start of this movie, this like Phoenix Pictures logo.
Sure.
Did anybody think it's like that match lighting at the beginning? It was like the beginning of Are You Afraid
yes,
of
yes.
the Dark?
That's instantly what I thought.
I was like Amazon. It's like, is you this... idiot Bezos, you fucked it again.
But this was enough. Are You Afraid of the Dark motion picture?
I think there are episodes of Are You Afraid of the Dark that are scarier than this fucking movie, though.
Well, there's a clown one, so that's immediately, like, that's checkmark for me.
Or that the one where, like, the little girl's a fucking porcelain doll, look out below. Holy, speaking of spoops.
Yeah, exactly.
I
You spooped when you saw that?
I spooped a lot watching that show, dude.
Whoa.
No, I mean, like, it was one of those things when I, like, you, I started the episodes really scared, but by, then by the end, I'm like, ah, it's not so scary.
Well, because by the end of it, you're just back with all those fucking Canadians sitting around a campfire. Well, nothing scary about that.
Because the clown one, it was like a clown bed.
Yeah.
Like in The Simpsons.
Yeah. It was a
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, so it's a cartoon. Okay, I can distance here.
Also, Are You Afraid of the Dark was really scarier than Goosebumps. Goosebumps was for babies.
Yeah.
That was for babies.
That's baby shit. That's American baby shit.
I honestly don't remember either like episodes. I remember them existing.
Yeah.
I just don't remember.
You know what my all-time fave Are You Afraid of the Dark episode is?
Oh, let's go for it.
It's the one with Ryan Gosling where he plays a kid who's obsessed with death and he owns a hearse. And like he turns the radio dial like all the way to one end and he can like hear voices from beyond the grave.
Does he seduce an old woman?
Yeah. Does he? Does he? Is he a granny shagger?
No, Harold and Maude? It's not Harold and Maude.
Harold and Maude.
But I think
by the
he's
way.
Just fucking old people, though. Anyway.
Oh, cool. Well. Is Harold and Maude? Is that like the premier granny shagging movie?
Oh, definitely. That's like
yeah.
When you do your vows when you're getting like old granny shag wedding.
Yeah.
My big fat granny shag wedding. When you're doing that, you quote Harold and Maude in your vows.
Oh yeah, you have to.
So that's like the Oscar one. We need like a popcorn granny shagging movie.
I'm sure it's coming.
I'm just, you know, we're way off the rails already, but I don't care.
Yes.
The final episode of Age Gap Lover, which we're referring to.
Yes.
Did anyone get that far?
Not at all.
Oh, that's only you, man.
It's a magician. He's like a teenage.
You don't have to say anything
not
else.
A teenage. He's like his early 20s. Oh, and the woman's only in her like late 50s. It's a more reasonable age gap.
It's
lover.
The most socially acceptable episode yet.
And he got her whole fucking family into a room, man.
And he made them disappear.
No, he made his dignity disappear. Because what he did was he did this like big Alice in Wonderland magic trick reveal of
Jesus
will
Christ.
You marry me? And she's like, oh, we'll have to talk about that.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, my asshole just clenched, closed for business.
No spoops for you, my friend.
Oh my God, that's humiliating.
It's worth watching the last episode.
Now I'm tuning in. This movie is you'd put this in a small-ish subgenre, very specific. It's what I like to call post-scream Y2K horror.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
It's where, you know,
we're
like...
We're building a bunker. We're worried about computers.
The snappy.
Much like how, like, independent crime films of the late 90s and 2000s, like, aped Tarantino.
Yep.
This is just aping Kevin Williamson. Every character is the smartest one in the room. They're all fucking hilarious. They have a line for everything.
What I forgot is how much I hate everyone.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot,
Scream, you liked some of them.
Yeah, you should like Neve Campbell at the end of that movie. Like, oh, she's, you know, she had a rough go of it.
Yeah. You know? We were supposed to like Alicia Vitt in this movie, but no fucking thanks.
No.
Is that a hard V?
I've always said the hard V for the W.
I don't know how
she says it. I don't know how she feels about it. I just also know that she was on Sybil.
She was on Sybil for many years.
As were most people on Sybil.
She had like one episode of The Walking Dead.
This is actually a who's who of the late 90s, by the way. You got Alicia Witt or Vitt, depending on who you know. Jared Leto.
That's right. Future Academy Award winning Joker. How about that?
Popular film category, maybe. Maybe. Oh. What is that? He's got this, what is this, Mobius movie coming?
Oh, Morbius.
Yes.
He's a vampire in that movie.
Oh, great.
Oh, he's playing Morbius?
Yeah.
Oh. Jesus Christ.
Which will definitely happen now that Venom was huge.
So it's part of the Venomverse.
Yeah, I think it is. It's like
interesting.
It's the Marvel don't want these characters universe.
Man, I just can't fucking wait. Can't wait for a fucking Mysterio movie or whatever the fuck.
This is a movie about people of urban legends. We open on a dark and stormy night.
Right. Oh, a night. Much like tonight.
And it's a woman driving a SUV of some kind. Yeah. She's listening to a sultry radio program hosted by Tara Reid.
It's Under the Covers with Sasha.
I don't know. Like,
it's from the campus radio station, by the way. They're just they're allowing this to be broadcast.
That's a bit weird.
It was crazy because all I could think about is when like Eric and I worked at the Purchase radio station. It was so much like you cannot say this, you cannot say that, you cannot play like these songs before this hour. And Tara Reid's just talking about fucking sucking dicks in this movie, like right on the air, dude.
Well, the thing is,
popular show.
What I learned afterwards was these are all urban legends she's telling. We start with the replacing birth control with baby aspirin.
Right. Now, that is apparently an urban legend.
I guess so. Like, I guess
it's something that happened once.
Yes. And or like, you know, my cousin's sister had a blah, 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 you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what urban legend they don't cover? And I feel if this movie was like made today or if there was like a sequel, this would totally come out. That fucking thing, I've had people tell me this IRL and I've heard people like talk about it on the internet. That whole fucking like, yeah, my dad's friend, he's a tow truck driver and he was driving down the street at night and there was this limo that was broken down on the side of the road and it had a flat tire and he went and he helped fix this flat tire and one of the back windows rolled down and oh my God, you guys, who was in that limo?
Oh my God, was it A Star Was Born's Bradley Cooper?
It was Donald Trump.
No.
What? And he asked this guy's information. No. Boom. Next morning, his mortgage was paid off.
No, that's not true.
Absolutely. That's a thing. That's a thing that a friend of mine told me in high school, and I've heard people elsewhere on the internet like say that same story years before he was a fucking joke game show host.
Well, we're run by urban legends at this point. That's what all that QAnon shit is. It's urban legends given a voice.
That's true. Andrew, I thought you were going to talk about like, and back in that back seat was Rod Stewart, and he needed his stomach pumped because drank so much semen.
But yeah, that's one. I've heard that same story, but with Gwen Stefani, that was all over the middle school bus ride a couple times.
Boy. Richard Gere's hamster romance.
Exactly.
Which is referenced in this movie briefly.
But so is the stomach pumping with this radio station, apparently, because like some girl calls into Tara Reid and is like, I just blew this dude and it feels, I can feel sperm swimming in my body.
Oh,
and
right.
And she's like, should I call
the baby looked at you?
They're doing a backstroke right now. And apparently, and I was looking through the Wikipedia to try to understand some of these urban legends, and they say that's like a reference to that.
The Rod Stewart-y thing, which is, I always heard Rod Stewart as well, not Gwen Stefani, which means it had to have happened to Rod Stewart. No. we have two-step verification. That's QAnon, baby. That guy said it. I believe in it. Now it's our religion.
Well, it has totally to come from somewhere anonymous. Yes. That's a big thing.
Oh, Q's telling all the good secrets about Rod Stewart.
Dude,
thank you, Q. For telling the secrets of Rod Stewart.
If you're listening to this and you believe that, jump in a lake and don't come up for air.
So she's driving, and what we kind
of. By the
way,
this another urban legend, real quick, is this podcast is funded by George Soros.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That's right. He's a big wig.
He may be a Patreon subscriber. We're not sure.
He might also be the head of HeadGum. I don't know.
He loves the Nexus.
But yeah, so I love that there's a great shot. She drives by like a pristine gas station.
Oh,
like
right.
Well lit. It's beautiful. And
that's an urban legend.
She's also singing a tune here, though. She's total eclipse of the heart at this point.
Yes.
Because she's so wrapped up in singing, she just drives by. And you see this, like, the gas needle just like, bing, bing, bing.
She purrs through a quarter gallon.
It's insane.
Fucking 1 second.
It's an SUV, guys.
I guess that's true.
Gas guzzler.
They had to
pump that car's stomach. Siphon the tank, dude.
Thank you, QAnon, for talking about pumping the gas out of the Hummer. Oh, Homer, that shit makes perfect sense.
Oh my God, I never thought about that.
She gets to the gas station. It is, wouldn't you know it, Brad Dourif. Now we're talking Brad Dourif.
But this is what I love. It's like nice gas station, singing Total Eclipse of the Heart. An eighth of a mile later, haunted gas station.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So she's honking like she's in New Jersey, by the way. This guy's got to pump her gas.
Because it's pouring rain. Oh, that's the only reason. Yeah. But she's in Maine, which is you get off your duff and you pump that fucking gas, dude.
So Brad Dourif comes out. Everybody, a light applause. And Brad Dourif, by the way, the best, my opinion, best
person?
Actor associated mostly with horror movies. It's kind of a weird distinction. You know what I mean?
Like, right. I mean, who else is there?
I mean, Robert Englund.
England.
You're right. I think you're right.
He's a good actor, I think.
He is, but
Dourif. No, not England.
No, I'm saying I think England is a good actor, but I'm saying I'm agreeing with Steve that Brad Dourif is the best of the bunch.
If you were putting on a play and you had to choose, like, I don't know, Brad Dourif or Kane Hodder or something.
And Kane Hodder as Romeo.
Oh, weird. She's like, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Right here, stupid.
It's like angry Kane Hodder impression.
He's a great actor.
Well, anyway, so he's like, and he's being Brad Dourif, which is creepy. I mean, like,
he has to have a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
Because clearly this is like, we need a weirdo. Yes. And, oh, who can play a stuttering weirdo? Here comes Brad Dourif.
No, we really need the stutter.
Yeah.
No, we can't make it with the limp and the, you know, look.
But the stutter, like, makes this whole thing happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what I was trying to remember about this story, though, because I've heard the person in the back seat.
Yeah.
I didn't recall a stuttering element.
No, I think usually the way I've heard it is, like, it's another car driving alongside honking at you. You're like, oh, my God, someone's after me. And but what the guy was really trying to warn her about was the maniac in her backseat.
Well, yeah, we're playing fast and loose with the actual legend. Oh,
get there. This ain't your mama's urban legends, I see.
The stutter's really just there for, like, just to drag it out, make it suspenseful. Yeah. Like,
he does a bad job. So, she gives him her credit card, and he notices something. He runs back, and then he comes out very nervous, and he's like, there's a problem with your credit card. You got to come in. And the company's on the phone or something, you know, in a big stutter. And she's creeped out, but she's like, all right, you know, I got to figure this out.
Right.
Which also, bad idea, lady. No one would go anywhere with that. I was like, you know what? I don't need gas that bad.
Well, she kind of knows it. She's like, oh, fuck. And it's just one of those, like, well, what are we going to do here? The car has no gas.
Yeah.
He's been pumping already. Just drive away.
She's got Mace in her hands. So she's like, all right, I'll just go in with Mace. And, like, the thing is, Brad Dourif, just be like, hey, look, put your hands way up. Put your hands way up.
Write it down. Thank you. How about that? How about that?
Pen and paper, dude.
Instead, he instantly starts locking the door with this weird, like, string mechanism, and it's like, okay, this is creep town.
And you never need to touch this woman. Like, that's A number one for you, Brad Dourif. Don't touch this lady. He's like, lady, I got it. And she's like, no.
Please don't.
That's with mechanisms. That your house is built on mechanisms.
Yeah.
You're a creepy peewee.
Yeah, why the fuck does he live in a gas station / fun house? Like, what is this shit?
So she maces him, and, you know, that's Brad Dourif's fault. I nothing to feel bad about there, lady.
Not the first time he's been maced on camera, and probably not the last, to be completely honest.
I thought she was going to, like, grab the phone and call 911, and she grabs the phone, and she just throws it through a window, which is great. Subverts expectations, and she jumps through the window. And
this movie's breaking all the rules, dude.
She's running to her car to get out of there.
And then, like, Brad Dourif, like, jumps on her hood, and she, like, drives away.
He, like, gets hit by this car.
It's a lot. He's really trying to save this woman.
He nails the line, there's someone in your backseat!
Yep.
And she drives away, and oops, it's an
asshole. Yeah, it's my kid's asshole. It's not. It's a marauder.
Cuts her head off, and then boom.
The car doesn't swerve off the road and fucking go into a fucking rock.
Yes. Right? Like, how is this movie continuing? It's like a short film. Because this SUV is going to flip right over, drive off a cliff, whatever the hell's going on.
Clearly a really curvy road while she's singing. She's going back and forth like it.
It's a Tootsie's car strip. It's going to roll over and explode. Sorry.
How can you swing an axe? I know cars were bigger then or whatever, or they're bigger now. I don't know. Like, an SUV, it's big. I get that. But, like, take an axe, go into the back seat of a car,
and
try to get a good swing going. No. I don't think you're going to have it.
Maybe but also, a hatchet. Maybe a hatchet.
And also, to your point, Eric, like, physically, like, what are you, 4 inches away from the driver tops?
Well,
you can get a good crank on that thing.
Did you notice in the Tribune trivia listings?
Is that an urban legend about axes and backseats?
No, but there's a thing about, like, whatever was written into the script, it was a smaller car. It's like a Jeep Wrangler or something. And they were like, no, this has to be an SUV because you can't swing an axe at a fucking Jeep Wrangler.
Although if it's a Jeep Wrangler with a soft top and it's down.
Then you get a real fucking good crank on
there. Yeah. There you go.
You could choke up like David Ortiz.
Yes.
This marauder is built like David Ortiz anyway.
That's right. Something to keep in mind for the end of this film.
Are we going to spoil it now up top, or what's the move here?
I kind of think you have to.
Yeah, sure. Fuck it. It's tiny little Rebecca Gayheart.
Yes. Nothing to lose is Rebecca Gayheart.
Mm-hmm. Noxzema's Rebecca Gayheart.
She weighs 90 pounds. She weighs 90 pounds. The guy that actually, and he's credited as killer in the credits, is built like The Undertaker.
I don't get it.
Do you think she's wearing like football equipment or something?
I guess
I need to see that, though.
Well, maybe she's on another killer's back.
Got like David Byrne shoulders. Like,
so, like, I have this big winter jacket. I'm also wearing the famed big suit underneath it.
I've got a tape I've got to play here.
Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est?
Yeah.
That's exactly
nothing
right.
Nothing can come between us.
It doesn't make any sense. There's also a great thing, though. Again, Tribune Trivia, America's number one news source for entertainment bits. There's a thing about how in the original script, because it's set in Maine, it was supposed to be in the winter.
Oh.
The shoot was in the springtime, and they were like, oh, we don't have the money, nor do we want to bother with creating a bunch of fake snow, so we'll just set it in like spring or autumn or whatever. But the killer was written to have the fucking snow pants and the boots and the jacket, and they just left it.
It's a big parka with a big furry parka, and I guess that's like the iconic look they were going for.
Oh, right. You're trying to create a horror icon with this.
Yeah, it's parka pants.
Piss poor job of it.
It's
Jesus.
It's just not practical. You're trying to kill people, and you're sweating bullets.
You're running around in snow pants. Come on. What are you doing?
It's just so indistinct. I've seen people with those hoods before.
Yeah.
And she's they haven't like, been killing people.
She's dressed like Kurt Russell in The Thing.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell's a hero.
And we just had, what was it? I Know What You Did Last Summer has like the fisherman outfits. This is very similar.
A little better.
It is better, and that's a better universe, I guess.
At least that costume is fucking, you know, time of year appropriate.
Right. This might be a more fun movie than those movies.
I would turn my key for that. So we're at Pendleton, we're at fake Pendleton University, and it's actually, I guess, like, we play it off like we're telling that urban legend to a bunch of people or something like
fake
that.
Fake university.
Yeah, fake university.
That's an urban legend.
But it's a weird, like, are they talking about the thing that just happened? Or is it, like, are we just so happening to
I think we're just
pop
so happening
in and they're telling the same story?
Everyone's telling urban legends all of the time.
You know, it's weird. It's not unlike the opening of Drew Barrymore at the beginning of Scream, and then they start talking about it right in the first scene at school. It's weird that it's like that. It's a little strange.
But at least in Scream, it makes logical sense that they'd be talking about it, unlike this, where nobody knows that woman's dead yet.
It's Michael Rosenbaum of Smallville fame. And
Lex Luthor,
and he played the Flash on the Justice League, did the voice, did a really good job, everybody.
In the animated show?
Speaking of bad t-shirts and people talking to you, now here I am. Here I come. By the way, did you see that Venom movie?
Stay tuned for Worst of 2018.
He's telling it's Alicia Witt and the killer herself, Rebecca Gayheart.
And Jared Leto is
right.
They're all just like sitting in like a campus like commune chatting about it. Should be urban legends you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, much like the Tiny Toons go to Acme Luniversity, where your concentration is in cartoon gags.
It's like if David Fincher directed an episode of Friends.
Yes, you're absolutely right, because they're on the couch, we're drinking coffee.
Huge Friends-esque coffee mugs, by the way. You see the size of these fucking things? You fit a fucking pig head in there.
It's like the beginning of So I Married an Axe Murderer. You're following that latte around.
Ooh. Hello.
So, but yes, Jared Leto's playing Parker, I want to say, or something. Whatever.
Piece of shit.
Jared Leto. No. He is
and
a piece
Jared
of
Leto
shit.
As piece of shit.
I think is wait, is it Paul?
Paul. Paul. That's right.
Oh, yes, something like that.
Or is it that's he played Paul Allen in?
Maybe that's
got a little
what you're
chow or
of.
Something.
But he's like, he's like blowing up Michael Rosenbaum's spot. He's like, oh, I think the way I heard it was like this, that, and the other thing, you fucking dick.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, who is the bigger fan of urban legends? What a bunch of colossal losers. Oh, my Lord.
What about rural legends?
Yeah. Some scarecrows that come to life.
No, yeah, I got a few. I got two I remember from growing up in the countryside. Now, one is great. It was like, hey, you know, down by the Esopus Creek there, one time a, get this, big city mafia guys buried some money over there.
Oh.
Second rural.
I better go out there digging.
Exactly. Second rural legend. Oh, yeah, that's the that's a field UFO landed there.
That's all of it. We had a rural legend. Cabin, do you ever hear this tale? There was a thing. I forget what the name of the dude was. But it was a thing where it was like, and this might be just a universal urban legend, and yeah. I didn't major in urban legending.
Yeah.
So I don't know for sure.
Oh, that wasn't one of your electives?
No, but there was a thing. Do you recall this story? It was the thing where there was a guy, he was walking down like a rural road at night with his wife. His wife was hit and killed by a drunk driver who sped away.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
And dude, so every night same time,
no.
This guy walks the road back and forth with an axe looking for the car. And I forget what they called this dude, but it was like, yeah, let's go out to that road and see if we can find Mr. Tisdale or like whatever the fuck it was. Mr. Tisdale. And kids would like, I don't know if kids actually would like hop in the car, but it was always like, oh, we should go out there, man. We should totally go out there and find Mr. Tisdale.
Let's get drunk and hit him. Scare him real good.
There is a guy around where I used to smoke weed in the Bronx who would just come up to you and push his fingers up against his lips, ask for a cigarette.
Oh,
that's like an urban legend, but he was a real person that I saw.
That
is
chilling.
That's a ghost you carry with you.
Oh, dude. I'll wake up screaming sometimes because it would be dead silent. You're a little stone, and this guy's like,
oh, that's fucking terrifying.
But
Jared Leto, I pulled up the Tribune page. His character's name is Paul Gardner.
Paul Gardner. Mm. Cousin of Paul Allen. So Leto's
I think the piece of shit's his middle name.
Oh, yes. I see.
Leto is like showing up Michael Rosenbaum.
Who's Parker?
He's Parker. Yes. Got it. Okay. So he's Parker and like whatever, Michael Rosenbaum. And like Michael Rosenbaum's like, hey man, next time you write a campus wide expose on E. coli, eat the burger yourself. Which is like a bad piece of backstory because it's such a snappy screenplay. It goes by in a second,
yeah,
and you're like...
By the way, Paul says that he almost won the student Pulitzer.
That's
for
right.
That piece.
That is the most important detail of that dick swinging exchange. Is he was this close to winning a student Pulitzer?
Is
and I was like,
thing?
Is that a... Yeah, is that a national thing, or was it just for this urban legend you?
Is that just something you get to meet the dean?
It's just a piece of construction paper that says great job on it in crayon. Yeah.
He keeps on acting like his job is to be a journalist. Yeah, it's like, well, no, you're majoring in that at school.
Right, yeah, you're not getting paid diddly squat yet.
Who reads this paper? Students at this college. Yeah.
Five people.
Tops.
Yeah,
that's
no
the
one
other
needs
thing
that shit.
With students at this college, when the woman is listening to the radio station, I was like, how far is the reach? Because she appears to be like out in the mountains somewhere.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus, our signal barely got off campus. You had to listen to web streams.
Yeah, and just think about how weird that is. You're you could, in this world, you could be like a creep listening to this sex show by a college student.
Oh, big
dude,
time.
That's halfway. Hey, can you tell that blowjob story again?
Is there going to be like a best of week at some point?
Again.
Oh, it's just this line of parked cars on the side of the road starting at where the broadcast signal hits. It's all these middle-aged, lonely motherfuckers jacking off to Tara Reid's sex show.
Honking their horns for everyone to move up when the next guy gets there. It's like, dude, I'm outside of the way of the signal. Don't be a dick, bro. Don't hog it.
Fuck, dude, don't make me double park. I'll do it. Don't make me do it.
God damn it, Jerry. Just drive to the front. Just drive to the front.
Hey, no cutting. He's honking off.
But then the tables are turned once again in this conversation because in comes Joshua Jackson playing Damon Brooks.
Nice.
And he's like,
these names.
Yeah, because it's fucking late 90s garbage screenplays. They all have awful names and everybody's wearing Old Navy. And he's like, oh, oh yeah, that urban legend, that's fucking baby shit. How about this one that happened right on campus?
Oh, right.
So he proceeds to tell this story about how there was like a massacre at this frat house or some shit, and the college covered it up, and he's having a big party at his frat house to honor said massacre or some shit.
That Mickey Stern's party?
No, not Mickey Stern's party, unfortunately.
The Stanley Hall Massacre.
Thank you.
It comes up a bunch, folks.
Right. That's right. It's the Stanley Hall Massacre. I went into Hall H in San Diego Comic-Con and killed 40 people, Marvelites. Excelsior, you're dead.
So I was smoking a joint with a talking axe. He told me to kill everyone.
Really? I was just planning to go on in there and slay him with some cool movie news. Well,
and you know now the enemies, they know that they're going to get slayed.
Well, it's something, he says something about like if you go to the front door of this abandoned building,
yeah,
say something three times, blah, blah, blah. So Rebecca Gayhart and Alicia Witt go to the frat house to do this.
Sure.
And then like Joshua Jackson pops up.
Yeah.
And or maybe this is where he pops up. Maybe someone else tells that story.
It might be Michael Rosenbaum again.
Yeah.
Showing off
a
bit.
I think Jackson's in the first scene too.
Is he?
It
doesn't matter. He pops up here.
Everyone's white. Guess what? Everybody's white. It's hard to keep track of who's who.
Well, it is Maine.
Yeah. And so he strolls up with his fucking bleach blonde hair. No, thank you.
Dude, wow.
It's disgusting. What are we doing?
It looks like he's about to fucking take a ride with Bruce Willis in The Fifth Element, dude. Keep it out of my movie.
It's so terrible. And so he tells them about the party or whatever, and they're like, oh, you have this party to honor this horrible event in our school's history? Okay.
So we cut to urban legend class. It's a class.
Right.
And like the thing of it is, if it's like, if this is like a, I don't know, like if it's like a humanities, you know, 101 history of like folklore, maybe we're talking about Hansel and Gretel and we're getting to this class.
Right. That's what I was thinking too. Like the urban legend part is, it's just part of the syllabus. It's like 2 weeks tops.
No, it's got to be 20 minutes. Are you kidding me? I'm paying for this. I'm paying like $1,000 to sit in this room.
And it's at the end of the semester. Yeah. You build up to it. Modern urban legends, that's the last
and
week.
You can listen or you could use it as a silent study hall.
Yes. Exactly. You could just say, I don't need this, that's fine. I'll just go on like literally the internet.
Oh, Pop Rocks? Okay, yeah, fuck you.
Dude, listen, when you're trying to fill a syllabus, man, sometimes the back end of that semester, it's like,
Is it funny as an adult, crippled with student loan debt, when you remember back when people wanted to do more work in class,
right,
and they would always be like, but we're paying for this. Like, for shit, whatever, man. No, I'm hungover. I'm hanging out, dude.
Exactly. I'm paying to hang out. That's what I'm still paying off. Hanging out.
I don't know that I ever heard anyone say that.
Oh, there would
that.
Be some. Yeah, they'd be like, oh, like we should do more, blah, blah, blah. Come on. And they were like, come on, man. Don't be a square, well, man. We're hanging out.
You were a lit major, right?
Or
was it creative writing?
Creative writing, yeah.
Yeah, so that's that, you know, that you get those types of people.
Yeah, yeah.
We had lazy ass people.
We had lazy people coupled with people who were like, Quentin Tarantino is the best filmmaker ever made. So yeah, I never experienced that, but it's obnoxious sounding.
But that's who I would be in this urban legend class. Like, dude, I'm spending $900 today to sit in this room, Robert Englund. You better teach me something that's at all worthwhile. All
right, so this is Professor Freddy talking.
Yes.
And I feel this scene, they just played this scene as the trailer.
Yes.
Like, this scene was all over this trailer because that's how you're selling this movie, everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Freddy Krueger is in this horror movie.
Yeah, you let his monologue carry over cut in scenes of somebody running from something.
But
somebody saying like, oh, it's an urban legend.
Yes.
A bunch of times.
Oh, we're told, by the way, legend. That like winter is coming because like Joshua Jackson at one point says like, oh, he's going skiing or snowboarding. It's gotta be snowboarding.
Well, they are in Winterfell.
So. Yeah. Well, due to Game of Thrones University, Winterfell College.
It's coming. I bet you someone's working on that right now.
Oh, there's definitely some class where it's like, oh, you know, there's a lot like Game of Thrones, guys.
If there are people who are dumb enough to think that Donald Trump would open a school to teach them good business things, there could be people who would enroll in a fucking Game of Thrones college.
Which is ridiculous because we all know you should go to Glenn Cook U. He wrote another fantasy series called The Black Company, which is pretty good.
Somewhere someone's laughing.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
But what's weird is, so we're clearly in the middle of a semester.
Sure.
And he's like going on and on and on about, like, you may have heard this story, this, that, and the other thing. And he has the line, this, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call an urban legend. Are you kidding me? It's the class. That's the thing.
Oh.
And like, you're talking to a bunch of fucking like 19, 20-year-old kids. They've heard that before.
And this is what we call mathematics.
Oh my God. Just brilliant. Brilliant.
I'm sorry. For the last couple of weeks, I've just gotten, you know, with the divorce from Janie and... You know, I've had to vent a little bit. Now let's start the show.
Dude, it's like fucking mid-November. He's been ranting about that rotten ex-wife. Is this going to be on the final, or?
Well, she was a legendary you-know-what.
Can't say it on a liberal college campus. They'll crucify me.
I'll tell you this. If she thinks she's getting the Cadillac, she'll become an urban legend.
I want this movie. They'll look at her backseat. They'll find me in there with an axe. I'm going to shove Pop Rocks and soda down her fucking throat if she tries to take my dog.
This professor gets arrested during class.
So, but he's telling the story. He's telling the story about the babysitter and that the calls are coming from inside the house.
Right.
And he kind of frames it without any kind of educational. Like, and you know, that's what this is. This is all about people trying to protect their children. And I'm like, what are we talking about? Because like the Pop Rocks thing isn't that. None of the dog in the microwave is not that. It's just like, don't put a dog in a microwave, I guess. Like I don't know what the, not every one of these teaches a lesson.
Is that one that's for real?
What?
Yeah, that's a dog in a microwave. So
an old lady drying a dog in a microwave. This reference later in this. Yes. Yeah,
oh, my Snuffles got all wet in the rain. I'll dry him off fast.
And the microwave and he explodes.
Oh, no, her brain's just Swiss cheese.
Also featured in the horror anthology film The Willies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I guess it is a urban legend. It's an actual one.
Absolutely. That movie, I think, has a cameo by the dude who played Donkey Lips.
Wow, it's exciting.
Dude, we're talking about urban legend. I'm doing the best I can.
Is he in the trailer? Like, People are going to come. They see Donkey Lips.
No, I think this was pre-Salute Your Shorts. I remember him being on the... Michael Bauer is his name? Bowen? Something
sounds
like that.
Right.
He's on the back of like the VHS cover. Oh. I think... what's his name there? Samwise Gamgee's also in that movie.
Maybe Sean Astin?
Yes.
Maybe they only released it after Donkey Lips became a thing.
Oh, right. They just shelved it. And it was like, someday somebody will be even minorly famous.
What? Featuring Donkey Lips.
I never heard of a movie called Rudy. What? No, Salute Your Shorts. Put Donkey Lips on there.
So he's fucking not Rudy famous. He's goddamn Nickelodeon famous. That's how you get asses in the seats. You get Donkey Lips in there. Anybody got a sleazy horror movie starring Melissa Joan Hart? I'll wait.
I've been trying to make Sam work for years.
So he's like, I have a demonstration to waste everyone's time.
Dude, he is fucking watching the clock with this lecture.
And the thing is, like, both Rosenbaum and Josh Jackson are like talking out in class, like, of course you would. This is bullshit.
Yes.
This is absolute. You can't control this class because no one respects you.
Why is this also a massive seminar? There's like 200 kids in this room.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
So he's like, if I want to come up and indulge me here. And Rebecca Gayhart goes up. As she gets up, did anyone else catch this? It places this movie in a moment in time.
Oh.
What?
Josh Jackson being a class clown.
Ooh.
Rebecca Gayhart stands up and he goes, yeah, baby. Yeah.
Yes, there is a fucking Austin Powers thing.
Ooh.
Oh, it sucks. And
I spooked myself.
But dude, it's enough of a ref that it made the fucking IMDb movie connection.
Oh, dude. No.
It's just Austin Powers, Man of Mystery. Ew. Right there.
Gross.
Oh yeah, dude. Just a perfectly timed yeah, baby.
And like, he's like, well, you want to try some Pop Rocks and she eats them and it's like, would you like to wash it down with an ice cold Pepsi beverage?
Dude, the way that this shot is framed, this pristine Pepsi can, when he extends his arm fully to give her the soda, that can of delicious ice cold Pepsi is right in the middle of the frame.
It's glistening.
Jenny liked to drink her Pop Rocks this way, too. And you know what? You know what? Just get off my stage. Get it off.
The funny thing is, though, I'd always heard this one as Pop Rocks and Coke specifically.
Oh, no, it's Pepsi.
Today it's Pepsi.
He should have said to her, do you want to take the Pepsi challenge?
Oh, nice. Oh,
yeah.
That would have been pretty cool.
But so she won't drink it because, like, oh, why? Did you hear an urban legend? And everyone applauds. He did it.
That's the name of the class.
He said the thing. You all get A's. Thank you. Goodbye.
Actually, that's why this is in a huge lecture hall, because the demand of all these college kids being like, oh, this class is a joke. Of course I have to register for this. What could we possibly do here?
I watched My Cousin Vinny in a class, and I was like, you know what? I'll take it. Law and film, sure.
Oh, man. Those were those weird adjunct classes that weren't real classes.
They were like fake film classes where like our actual like film studies professors would be like, well, don't take those.
Well, you're lucky because these days it's probably like Find Me Guilty or something.
Oh, wow.
By the way, you paid $900 to watch My Cousin Vinny.
No, I paid $900 to graduate because I needed that. I needed anything in my last semester. But so she won't do it. And he's like, well, that was an urban legend, ladies and gentlemen. I think Josh Jackson actually does do it. And like,
oh, he absolutely does.
He does like a class clown moment.
He is so funny.
Yes.
He's so funny. And I'm not talking about Joshua Jackson, the actor. No, no. I'm talking about Damon Brooks, the character.
Oh,
this
Damon
guy's a real
Brooks?
Cut up.
He's the living end.
My question, Brooks. He's both him and Rebecca Gayheart are both in Scream 2. As Josh Jackson is in that sequel class, which is almost as bad as Urban Legend class.
Yes. Right.
But you could almost imagine it as a real class.
Yeah. It's a classroom. It's like 20 kids in there.
But I think it's very clear, like, after we've done all the work for the day, we're just going to rag about sequels for a little bit.
Well, that's the thing, right? Yeah. It's a film class
where
they just happen to be talking about sequels in a hip, snappy, snap way. This is a class devoted to the urban legend.
But here's my question. So he's at the Scream University, wherever that is, whatever fake university
is. Oh, I know what you're doing.
He goes,
he tells
a bunch of jokes,
yep.
And he's like, oh man, there's a murderer on that campus. I got to hightail it, and I could be the fun, you know, I don't have to worry about Jamie Kennedy stealing my thunder.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to frost my tips. I'm going to be a fucking legend at Pendleton University.
I reinvented myself when I got to college. That did not work. I got to go to another college and try it again.
Sequels didn't work. I got to go for Urban Legends, man.
Where did Pacey go to college? Does anybody remember?
I do not remember. I checked out before that happened.
Oh, all right.
Well, you know what's the best?
Back to that.
What I kind of like about high school stuff and college, about this.
What I kind of like about high school stuff.
Well,
Steve Sadak podcast.
They keep getting young.
No. But like in TV shows wherein it starts out in high school and they go to college.
Yep.
By they do like a season and a half of college and then everyone gets bored of it. Everyone's then it's like everyone kind of got jobs and did stuff and like everyone's.
Yeah. Or someone dropped out. Like, that's what they did with Modern Family. They had, like, the oldest daughter go to college, and then it was like, no, she was dumb and got kicked out. And so she could, like, remain on the show.
Forever and ever.
Seriously, that thing's in, like, its fucking 10th year. I think it's its final one, but, like, Lord.
Insane.
So the next murder is Josh Jackson. Alicia, at this point, they find out that, oh, my God, this woman was killed an urban legend way. Alicia Witt's very upset. Josh Jackson. And, like, she's hanging out with Joshua Jackson, even though she clearly hates his guts. Like, and he keeps popping up, and then he's like, hey, if you we want a shoulder to cry on, babe, you can come out, and I'll drive you out. We'll talk about it. I'm a pretty good listener. And, like, she falls for it. She gets in his car.
Yep.
And, like, very quickly she finds out what this guy's motivation is. He's a scumbag. He's lying. She's like, you know what, dude? She punches him in the face. She's like, forget it, man. Drive me back to campus. This was a waste of time. He's like, all right, I gotta go take a piss. He takes a monster piss. Did you hear the audio work on this thing?
This was like that Adam Sandler bit, the longest pee.
It's just like, ah, man, didn't work out.
It sounded like the waterfalls in the beach.
Grade A meat piss. It's like junkie style.
Oh, God.
So
it's like a Campbell's soup. You know, the chunky ones.
Yeah.
The gumbo. The ones that football players eat.
That's right. And the mom's like, oh, it makes this piss so nice.
Chowder.
You're totally neglecting to mention the worst joke this movie attempts to pull off. It's like when they're leaving the parking lot of the college to like go for a drive. This is after, by the way, we've been introduced to Loretta Devine as the only campus police officer and John Neville as the dean.
And the only black person in a 6-mile radius. Clearly.
Absolutely. So they like let them know like what happened to this woman or whatever. So they go for this drive. They're pulling out of the parking lot and Joshua Jackson like goes to like start the car or whatever. And fucking Paula Cole, I Don't Want to Wait, comes on. And he like turns it off, like, ooh, like he turns it off. Dude, I almost threw up.
It's
like
a bad one.
It's so
who
bad.
Who is that for? Like, you know, like, clearly.
You know who that's for.
I know. But come on.
No, they can't be reasoned with. Stop them, trying to do it.
Them WB kids, man. That's who that was
I mean,
for.
Like, that song was huge. That show is huge. Like, clearly you're not. Not thinking about that in the 90s when he's on screen. But like even as the actor, can you be like, can we not do that?
Well,
like,
here's
I'm doing a movie here. Can we not do that?
My wife asked this, and
to,
I think...
do a movie here.
I think this is what it is, though. I don't think he knew. Because all it is, when you see him, it's like he turns on the radio, and I think in the script, it's like... they hear a bad song, right. And he turns it off. And then like in post-production, they were like, you know what would be funny? If we made this Dawson's Creek joke, but this also adds to like it wants to be this self-referential, totally introverted Scream ripoff thing.
Yeah, then there's another one later in the movie too.
But that hinges so heavily on anybody giving a shit about urban legends. Like the Scream, it made sense. People give a shit about horror movies.
Yeah.
Urban legend? Are you fucking serious?
I mean, maybe it's like for those of us out there who are obsessed with like those books like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark and Weird New Jersey or whatever else.
13-year-olds, yes.
All those both those books are about like pumping stomachs.
Right. So he's taking a leak and she's getting like pissed off or whatever. And so he's
pissed off.
Oh, right. Sorry. Bad choice of words there. And as he's like finishing up, someone wraps a rope around his neck and starts doing it to him.
And again, like if you get a physics problem, like you've got a guy who weighs probably like 160 pounds.
Yeah.
It's like 5'9", whatever. You got Rebecca Gayheart, who's 5'1", 90 pounds,
right.
Is able to put a noose around this dude's neck and is pulling him up like he's a rag doll.
Yeah. What are we
He goes
talking
up
about?
Like 60
and
feet.
This is it. So a hanging is an urban legend now?
Well, no. So this is so she doesn't pull him up 60 feet. She gets him just so like he's right above the car.
It's like 15 feet. Sure.
And the whole thing is like his toes like just touching the roof.
Mm-hmm.
But like if she moves the car, he's going to hang. So he's yelling like, don't move the car or whatever. But then so like Rebecca Gayheart in this fucking snow jumper like gets on the windshield and freaks out Alicia Witt and she starts driving away and the rope is attached to the bumper. So as she drives away, he gets hung. What it should have been was she just keeps driving. He goes up all the way to a branch and gets fucking decapitated.
Yes. Yes.
But we see some like bullshit urban legend book later that has an illustration of like,
she drove a man to death.
Of like a dude hanging above a car. So apparently at some point, at least according to this movie, that's also an urban legend.
Well, it happened on a night quite like tonight.
Wait, right. That's what I heard.
A night just like tonight?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
man.
They were recording a podcast in a car.
A podcast just like this podcast?
Yes, just like this one, Eric.
So
we're gonna die today.
So she goes to get Loretta Devine, who is playing this character named Reese, who's campus security. She comes back, and it's one of those favorite things where like somebody tells an insanely fucked up story. Like, I saw a fucking alien, and he killed my mom, and my mom's actually missing. This is really scary. And they come back, and they find like one can of beer, and they're like, well, I think we could sleep it off about that alien that killed your mom,
right.
Mister. And it's like, dude, but the person is missing. Like, why would... What kind of what is your experience with alcohol that you think that I would make this shit up?
Yeah, I've been really drunk, and I've never once made up, like, this person attached my friend to the fucking bumper of my car, and I hung him by accident. and who is now definitely not around anymore.
It's Have like, you well, been drinking?
No.
Well, 10 beers. But they play it off because it's like, oh, well, everybody knows that Joshua Jackson had plans to go to Killington.
Oh, college kids go missing all the time.
Dude, the dean at one point is like, he's like talking to Loretta Devine, and he's like, you're being ridiculous, officer. It's the weekend. Of course no one's here.
And I don't know if it's because we went to a state school or not, but like our dean wasn't British.
That's true.
I would say no one in our faculty, the idea of a British, a prestigious dean, and he's like, it's the weekend. It's like, dude, take all of this down three notches.
This is, by yes. the way, this is why, like, if we had a British dean, we would have been we would have had success out of college.
Yes.
We would have been something. The great, you know? Now, you know, we went to a state school. Chris, you're laughing, but we are failures as men, more or less.
Yeah, we just had some American dean, you know?
Yeah, exactly. If we had a British dean, things might have gone a little better.
Or we could have been killed by the urban legend slayer.
Yeah, that's fine, too.
I will make men out of you. We hate movies, boys. It is I, your British dean,
played by John Rhys-Davies, apparently.
I'll slide oh, there. Man.
I'm Dean Islamophobe.
That's, you know what? Now I'm making a movie. It's called Fat University. It's us four, and you got John Rhys-Davies as the
Hold
dean.
On a second. It's like the admissions exam. Like, you gotta weigh in.
You have to eat this much lard.
Oh, I don't think so.
You're not fat enough at all.
Take that to Husky University.
I'm the Dean of Fat University. Deep fry all of this.
I mean, this movie writes itself.
The dining hall's got a river of gravy.
Yes, exactly. It's
a river of gravy.
One of the boys drowns in there. And it starts off the investigation.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, so there's also a murder on this
game? Yeah, oh, yeah, people are dying. It's mostly of natural causes.
I would hope there's like a Willy Wonka-esque gravy factory in back.
Yes.
Oh, those rowdy boys of Sausage House. They did it at a panty raid last night.
Sausage House.
It's the weekend. It's a sausage party.
Oh, Lord. Oh, can we talk about Alicia Witt's tragic roommate situation?
Yes, we definitely need to.
There's one scene at some point in the film. She goes into her dorm room, and there is her roommate having wild sex just out in the open, door unlocked, no sock on the fucking knob.
This would solve her problems, is institute that sock position thing.
Yeah.
That's a universal signal. But also, I think that's been around since like the Fonz.
It's an urban legend.
Oh, you're right.
But even that, like, she's like, could you turn off the light? And they continue having rowdy sex,
dude,
as this girl goes to sleep. Like, that's disgusting. Not how that shit works. It's like, you, like, the one of the roommates, like, the cool roommate having sex, knocks the nerd out and is like, sleep in the fucking the mess hall.
What we are privy to is like, she opens the door and it's just like, turn the light off. Like, that guy does not stop thrusting through this whole scene. She's like putting her fucking Discman on, trying to go to sleep. She's got her fucking busted $2 headphones from Radio Shack.
She's like putting on, like, it's like a Slipknot album by accident. She's like, oh fuck, that's not gonna be able to. She has to like go through her CDs, find Crash Into Me.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And that's the move. What you do is you go to another roommate's room, be like, yep, they're having sex. Sorry,
you don't sleep in that room. It becomes a situation. Mm-hmm. It's like an almost threesome at that point.
You know,
it's like,
because how are they performing? Unless that's the move. That's their
part
thing.
It's part of it.
You go for a walk for like an hour.
Yeah,
or
exactly. This roommate is played by Danielle Harris from four separate Halloween films. Five, six, Zombie One and or 4-5 and Zombie One and Two.
Previous episode as well. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. She plays one of the kids.
Does she really? I don't
Almost
remember that at all.
Yeah,
wow.
She does.
That's crazy.
Great film.
That's
great.
Crazy.
It's a great film.
I actually like that movie.
It's a good
movie.
I do too.
It's fun. All
right? She's a goth, we find out in later scenes.
Yeah.
She's painted half the room black. She's all. And the thing is, like, this is like maybe the fourth goth in film history, period. And like, she's a fucking nightmare because she's like, A, a bad, nasty person. B, she's on lithium.
Well, yeah. This is pre Ethan Suplee and Butterfly Effect.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
So, she's listening to Stabbing Westward.
Stabbing Westward, which yet again. Cannot escape it.
Sorry, we're going to take back your goth card.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, what is that about?
I mean, I understand dipping your toes in it, but.
At least you got to even it out with some Bauhaus. You got to like.
Yeah, well, of course. That's the bottom line. You need that. That's the foundation of which the house is built.
Or, I don't know, how about some like sensual goth fucking? You've got some Cure on, maybe, oh, yeah, right?
Definitely.
Also, we're painting your
exactly
dorm room.
What is that about?
Come on,
you can't do that.
That's just annoying.
It's against the rules, by the way. Ethan,
your RA is not going to pass you, dude.
Little dollar signs every time. Look at each little painting you did there.
By the way, try to paint over fucking black paint like that. That's at least like six coats of that eggshell white, brother. It's awesome. There's another scene with the roommate kind of earlier on in the film where like Elijah Witt wants to make a phone call. And like Danielle Harris is like on some goth chat thing, and she picks up the phone. Uh-oh, dial-up modem problems.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
That's actually for kids now. That's an urban legend.
You used to go on the internet, and your mom could knock you off by trying to call your grandpa.
Whoa, horror.
Total horror.
But so... this is kind of culminating in Alicia Witt is like, oh man, something's going on with these urban legends.
Right.
So she goes to the library, picks out the big book of urban legends, which I guarantee you Robert Englund on the board is like, well, we need at least 10 of those for my class.
Look how big the seminar is going to be. Can we get this on sale at the bookstore? What, folks? People, it's Urban Legend 101.
I don't know what to tell you. There's not a soft cover out there. You need to buy these hardcover.
And well, Steve wasn't joking, by the way. The book is literally titled The Encyclopedia of Urban Legends.
Well, look, I'm sorry. Well, we won't need Moby Dick then. I'm sorry, Lit is canceled. What pays the bills here is Urban Legend.
I just started the class. I was getting the divorce stuff out. Don't you understand?
How many times do I have to tell you I'm going through a horrid divorce?
So she gets us out with Rebecca Gayheart. And
she runs into Tara Reid in the library, which that's the funniest part of the movie.
Well, Tara Reid's like, I'm just... She's like, well, because she's a sex maniac in air quotes.
Oh, she's sex crazed.
She's like, I'm checking out the Kama Sutra. Isn't this fun? Goodbye, movie.
She's like, oh, look at all these pictures. Do you think whoever I'm fucking would like to take a look at some of these?
Michael Rosenbaum.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what planet?
But she winds up going to Rebecca Gayheart. She explains, by the way, I did actually know that this girl that got killed in the beginning of the movie, we went to the same school, and here's what happened. It was on a night quite like tonight.
Oh yeah.
Did you ever hear of did you ever hear about the gang initiation, urban legend?
Right.
Right, yeah, that's where they stab you in the street. Oh, no, is it different?
No, you have to pay $600. It's really expensive.
No, I thought that was the knockout game.
Oh, the knockout game.
Oh, yeah, that's another urban legend.
Now I'm thinking of an actual Bronx urban legend. Did you guys have this?
The Haunted Provolone.
The Cloverfield? Oh, shit.
No,
the Cloverfield.
If you... don't buy stickers from this guy that comes around the school trying to sell you stickers.
What?
Do you know why? Because they have LSD on them.
Oh, yeah.
And if you touch the sticker, now you're having an acid trip for 6 days or something.
Oh, no, it wasn't touch it or anything like that. Yeah. I have heard of the don't take stickers from strangers.
I have not heard of this. Yeah. It's just some guy wandering around wasting his drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Thousands of dollars pasting LSD.
I'm actually a millionaire. I just like getting kids high.
Well, that was like, I saw somebody was like making fun of some tweet that was going around. It was like a news headline that said like, parents, this Halloween, be careful of people giving out edibles to your kids. And somebody was like, why the fuck would I waste my drugs on that? Exactly. What are you talking about? Dude, I get a package of those gummy bears? They are in-house, brother.
How don't you get one of these people to bite into an apple with the razor blade in this movie?
Oh, that's a good
point. Oh, that's a great point.
You got to save something for the sequel, Chris.
I watched the sequel. They don't do shit like that.
That's a bummer.
but to Ape Scream 2 even more. That takes place at a film school, if I remember properly.
Yes, it does. And they're all vying for the Hitchcock Award.
Boof. No.
Yes.
Spooky stupid.
Yes, the leading student at Fat University will get the Hitchcock Award.
Oh, Gerard Depardieu, French teacher.
Oh, there he is. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Steven Seagal, P.E.
Yeah, we're going to sit around today and do jack shit.
Have you ever sat on a couch?
Listen, you don't lose weight. You want to get kicked out of school? Hey, man, this is Couch Sit 101. Take a load off.
I'm not moving a muscle.
We're surfing the web today.
So, but she's like, oh, by the way, you ever hear the gang initiation thing? It's when you flash your brights. If you see somebody without their brights on, if you flash them, then they will go and kill you because that's part of a gang initiation.
Right, they pull a Yui and then they run you off the road. Mm-hmm.
So Alicia Witt and this girl are driving around in high school, it seems, and are flashing their brights at this person, and they run this guy off the road and kill him.
Like, they chase him for like miles.
Dude, they like murder this guy.
The way that they film this flashback, and like Alicia Witt is narrating it, and they show the woman from the beginning of the movie who was murdered, and she is driving this car, and like it's like a gag out of The Simpsons, like someone misremembering something wrong, because she's driving, she's behind the wheel, and she's like laughing maniacally, like ramming this dude.
You know, I've heard of MS-13, but Ms. 13? She's young. She's like in high school. She's probably 13 years old.
But like, and then they kill this guy.
All I can say is thank goodness these two girls are white.
Yep, that's exactly, because they show them with the cops. Like, the cops let us off light with probation. Like, yeah, you don't fucking say.
Yeah, they got like 3 months probation.
Wow. For killing someone.
We didn't even have to meet his family. It was really great.
So that's her backstory. The next urban legend is Daniel Harris is on the phone, on the computer,
clickety clack,
clickety clacking, in a chat room called Goth for Goth. By the way, Eric, did you get on that or not?
No, I don't think I ever. No, shit, I should have though.
Now, and as a goth, were you like really just hitting a lot of lithium?
No, I couldn't find any.
No, oh, okay. The lithium is because she's got brain problems. Oh, she's right. So fucked up. The only way somebody would be a goth, right?
Of course. The only lithium I ever got was Nirvana.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
I was using air quotes, by the way, with that whole mental illness.
No, you were actually like deriding people.
No, I was
weird.
Not.
Steve was holding up a sign like Looney Tunes that just said, fuck these people.
No,
it's ridiculous. The portrayal is not correct.
It's not good.
It's not nice. Not great, so she's
wait,
like,
who's sorry, but who's a more legitimate goth in cinema? Her in this movie or Ethan Suplee in Butterfly Effect?
Oh, I think God.
Ethan Suplee seemed like a cool hang, at least.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He didn't seem like a good enough guy.
Seen that movie in forever.
But this is like, you know, just because she's goth, she's also like a crank.
Yes.
And just like constantly angry at everything.
So she's like, you know, Alicia Witt's like, hey, get off the internet. She gives her the finger and she's like emailing or chatting with some guy. She's like, she's in this goth chat room. Like, hey, I guess it's like a local goth chat room. Cause she's like, who in the school wants to fuck right now?
And I think it's like campus only or
something. Whoa. Wait, campus goth fucks? No, this was not a thing.
Exactly. Like localized goth fucking. And that's like one of those links. It's like, oh, there's somebody who wants to fuck you 3 miles away.
That's
don't click that link.
Urban legend. No one wants to fuck you.
Yeah, and it's four other people.
Yeah.
And they're always on there, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, did I fuck you already? Did I? Yeah, all right. No, you keep changing your screen name, Barry, and it's just you every time.
It's the same guys that are lining up for Tara Reid in the cars.
Boy, I wish there was a way we could sit in our cars and be on the internet at the same time someday.
So she's like, hey, who wants to fuck? And she starts chatting with somebody, and the person's like, the guy, it's actually Rebecca Gayhart, spoiler alert, is like, hey, I'm really close to you. She's like, oh, cool. Where are you? And he's like, in your room.
Well, it's so funny because it's like, where are you? She leaves to like go to the bathroom or something, and then she comes back in the room and it's like, your room. And she gets attacked. And then this is the dumbest thing in the movie. In a movie that's filled with dumb set pieces.
Sure.
Alicia Witt walks back in and it's like, oh, she's getting fucked again. And it's like her being strangled.
Yes.
So she puts, you know, headphones on again and lays down and
crash
like
crash into me. You're the king of the so much to say. All the little ants are marching. Help me, please. We're under the table and dreaming.
Help me! Oh, Lord Almighty. So she wakes up the next morning, and it's like, I thought at first the killer put her in one of those, like, vacuum seal fetish bags.
Wait, what?
Featured most recently in this new Girl in the Spider's Web movie.
Oh, okay.
It's like you put on, like, a gimp-type suit, sure. And then a vacuum thing sucks all, right.
Sucks the what?
I got one in my closet. I'll show you guys after we're done recording.
You know what? I'm just going to put this out there. That Girl in the Spider's Web might be one of the stupidest movies put out this year.
I don't know. I'm kind of interested.
I'll see.
I like Claire Foy. The problem is that trailer tells you literally everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing left to that movie.
Isn't it? It's about like evil twins kind of a thing, right?
I think it's just like she's like a foster sister or something that she screwed over. But I'll tell you what, dude, you have a movie where Lakeith Stanfield is fucking sniping people. Yeah, I'm there.
All right. We'll see. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. Prove me wrong, kids.
But so she wakes up, she pulls the covers off her, and it's like she slit her wrists, and then written in blood is like, bet you wish you turned on the light.
Or aren't you glad you didn't turn on the light?
Oh, is that what it is?
Whatever.
So it's like this bullshit, she's reporting the crime or whatever to the dean and the only campus police officer on this entire private university.
Not the police!
It's insane. Right. Yeah, it's
insane. Security guard and an admissions official.
The best part of this whole thing is like they come out, like they're wheeling this woman, this dead girl, out on a gurney.
Yeah.
And then like this mean girl is like, you might want to check her pulse. She always looks that pale. And yeah. I'm like, dude, there's like mean girl and then pointing at a recently dead person.
But that is happening all the time. Yes, every time somebody dies, somebody makes some catty comment.
The girl that gets her fucking head cut off, I think Michael Rosenbaum.
It's Joshua Jackson. I know exactly where you're going with this.
Oh, man, you know what I heard? She gives great head.
I immediately thought of that film, High Tension.
Oh, boy.
That's scenes exactly the Scream 1 scenes, like Live Her Alone and blah blah blah.
Oh right, Live Her Alone. So it's great because this dean, this dean, I think his motivation is he's concerned about admission numbers for next semester because he's just like, well, of course, you know, stupid child. She wore white makeup on her face and listened to a bunch of loud industrial music. Clearly, this is a suicide.
I'm writing the death certificate right now as dean of the university.
And she's like, but what about
suicide numbers spiking doesn't hurt admissions at all.
And she's like, what about the fucking blood message on the wall? He's like, tiff, tiff, enough of that. It's the weekend.
She winds up hooking up with Jared Leto, and he's like, wow, I smell a story. And like they do this like Scooby-Doo horseshit, because that's what all the Scream movies are.
Some pretty sweet, fascinating library research.
Sure.
The two of them are teaming up on that, because Jared Leto, as he'll remind you in this movie, is just doing his job.
His job. So how do they...
Well, this is one of the best things ever. Throughout the film, we have some brief encounters with creepy janitor.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
And it's like, they say something about like, oh, how long? And they're like, hey, creepy janitor, how long have you been working here? And he's like, too long. And they're like, yes, okay, creepy janitor. Do you know anything about the Stanley Hall massacre? And he goes and he's like, I'll tell you one thing. The most popular professor on this campus, that guy who teaches Urban Legends 101, you might want to look into that guy. And they make their way to Bob Englund's office.
Oh, yes, the Stan Lee Hall Massacre. I've got the trailer for Avengers Infinity War Part 2. Everybody close their eyes.
It turns out diabetes did it.
And so they sneak into Englund's office, and there they find, like, all the props that the prop department from the film was storing someplace. Yeah. Like, it's like the jacket, there's an axe. And they all get freaked out. And of course, England like walks in right behind them. And we have to immediately go back to talk to this fucking dean
and the only security guard once again.
And the dean is like, look, all right, England, you're very, very upset. You go outside. And he's like, And the weird thing is, he's like, well, Mr. Leto, you're off the school paper, mister.
Oh, yeah, he gets him fired.
Yeah, and he's like, well, and then he, like, starts, Leto's like, hey, man, the school charter says, I'm like, dude, shut up.
Dude, any fucking student that when you got into, like, a beef with, like, school administration or whatever, and that person brought out the school charter, shut up.
I was really hoping he was just going to kill himself right there.
But
don't take away my baby!
And then he goes up to Alicia Witt, like, and it seems here, yes, looks like you killed someone a couple of weeks ago. Isn't that interesting? I'm like, dude, this girl just had her roommate like commit suicide at best. Maybe give her a little slack.
Maybe a tiny bit. That's another urban legend, right? Your roommate kills themselves and you get like a B or an A or something like that.
Oh, right. They call that the dead man on campus rule.
Right. That was another urban legend film.
Yes.
Film is based entirely on that one urban legend.
The urban legend universe. The extended universe.
Believe me, man. My freshman year roommates, I was hoping that clause came into effect. But it's weird because the way that the dean frames it is so fucking shitty and catty. He's like, oh, and you, little missy, you're on probation. Something that, according to your record that I looked through, you're no stranger to. And Jared Leto's got to be like, what the hell is that about?
I smell a story.
Also in this fucking interrogation scene is where they're like, well, what about the axe?
Yeah.
What about the jacket? What about the rope? And he goes, those are just props that I use in my folklore class. And I was like, that's what you're calling it now? Exactly. It is Urban Legend 101, friend.
If you must know, those were Janie's, and I just made my last trip over there to get my jacket, my axe, and my dog, okay?
This rotten woman never goes anywhere, so try to find me a time in the week when I can go over there when she's not home and get my props.
Oh,
my grandfather's axe, thank you.
Oh, only if I had the time to kill you children and urban legends, my love in life.
You know, not enough classes in college had props.
Yeah.
You know, like if someone walks in with a Carrot Top-esque fucking suitcase. That's what I want.
I would love it, dude. Just some visual aids to enhance the learning experience.
Do you think fat you
have? Oh, definitely. They're called sandwiches.
Yeah, this is a sandwich. You eat it.
I brought it in a bigger sandwich.
Po' Boy 101.
Oh, yeah.
Time for your final exam, children. It's a succulent turducken.
Po' Boy 101. Taught by Paul Perdone.
Oh, yes. But wait a second. So what are you studying in this class? Like cooking? Like is it recipes or is it how to eat these things?
Flavor tasting.
Well, look, maybe it's different majors. Speed, like you could major. Oh, yeah. So like speed eating.
Yeah.
You can major in like being a competitive eater.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Taste testing, right?
Dying early.
Fat actor 101, man. You can get, that can get you on Saturday Night Live sometimes.
You're on the Will Sasso track, young man. I'm so proud.
So,
There's swimming.
This is just like a fake out. Like she goes swimming. Alicia Witt is Rebecca Gayheart is swimming and like, oh my god, the guy, the Parker guy is there.
It's just saunters into this pool in the middle of the day.
Alicia Witt like breaks a window and whoops, it was all a misunderstanding. This is when the dean bites it. But my favorite part of this whole thing is the dean is like, all right, listen, Loretta Devine, whatever happens this weekend. No, we're not calling the police over missing students. Or
I don't want to see one ambulance bill.
A couple murders on campus. We can deal with it.
It gets actually really revealed later that what he does is he calls the police and is like, listen, if you get any 911 calls from campus, just don't show up.
Dude, this dude is lucky that he's butchered in this movie because otherwise he's going to jail.
Yes. Yeah,
how aren't the cops not going directly to the campus after they get that phone call?
Dude, yeah.
Call 911 at any time. Like, hey,
Hi, I work at this office. If you hear any 911 calls, someone's pranking you. So for the next 24 hours, just don't come if you hear any 911 calls.
I've already told all the operators to block if the cops are going to call into here at all. So we're fine. But like, could you just help me out?
Look, any number that comes through your caller ID and it says 555-251, all of those are campus extensions. Just ignore every last one of them.
Also, this is where they're talking, because Loretta Devine is now sort of like coming around to this idea that something's not quite right. And she brings back up Joshua Jackson once again. And she's like, this boy is missing. And he's like,
no, he's not.
No, it's the weekend. I'm going to remind you of that one more time. He's probably off. And this is great. He goes, with a girl or a guy or a farm animal, whatever. Yes, my students are fucking chickens.
Robert Englund's teaching a fucking animals course.
Oh, man, he's qualified.
But you take that class, right?
Yes, I did.
Zoo 101.
Yes. Did you not know that we have purge weekends here?
Anything goes.
This dean, I would put my money on having the best death in the movie.
Oh, easily.
It's fucking awesome. He's like, is it a parking garage?
It's a parking garage.
Yeah.
And he gets his Achilles cut. Credit to Pet Sematary, where credit is due.
Yeah. Oh, man. Those little critters type moves like that. Oof.
And he's
slice.
Like, and he's like crawling around. And someone like the killer puts his car into neutral and it starts rolling towards him. And it rolls over him over the, what do you call it, the tire, whatever.
The tire spike. So it's like the fucking car hits this dude and pushes him down onto the tire spikes. It's pretty great, except it's dumb because, like, what a convenient location. Yes. This dean got this parking spot in, like, aligned perfectly with the wrong side of the exit entrance thing.
On the other hand, though, it's the best-known urban legend.
Is it?
The guy who got ran over by the car. And no, of course not.
Well, apparently,
Dean got run over by his own car.
It's the weekend.
He's like, but it was Saturday.
Unless Pet Sematary is an urban legend in and of itself, then no. Well,
it's funny that you mentioned this, Chris. I saw on the Wikipedia,
yes.
The thing is, they cite the urban legends in the film, and then they give like, I was trying to find the sources they were using. A lot of it was like books, and they're giving me fucking ISBN numbers.
Oh, shut Lord. The fuck up. That's where I tune
shut
out.
Shut the fuck up. But one of the Achilles heel cut was like referencing like a 1990 newspaper article or something about like, oh, old people are getting their Achilles heels.
Specifically
cut.
Old people?
Yeah, some shit like that in like parking lots.
Oh.
Down at the Kroger's or something.
What the best detail about this Dean character is revealed in his final shot as he's like, his dead arm is kind of slowly falling towards the ground. You guys notice he's got a fucking Coke fingernail?
Oh, nice.
And I think it's just a thing where he's like a decrepit old man and it's like, if he cuts his own fingernails, his hand might fall off or something.
I cut them all, but oh, that last one's just a bridge too far.
Like this dude, he looks like fucking Harvey Keitel.
That's how I summon the genie, don't you know?
I should say in Taxi Driver, by the way, not just Harvey Keitel
that
in
professor
general.
Called you a little chicken wing. You want your professor talking? The dean. He called you a little chicken wing. You know what I'm talking about? You like that?
Bravo. So like now we're at this party. It's like the last movement of the movie, which takes forever, is this big party at Parker's house, and he's like holding court and now. By the way, all of a sudden Parker's got a dog. I'm like, where did this dog come from?
Yep.
You got to set that dog up in the first act.
Absolutely, he needs to be carrying this thing around all the time. And this is where I'm like, Parker, I'm so glad that this is a bad slasher movie because I know you're going to get it because the cut into this party scene is Parker giving his own dog a fucking like beer funnel.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's cheering on this dog and I wanted to burn this fucking house down with the door locked.
Am I the only one who also saw a pierced nose?
On the dog?
Because
they mentioned piercing the dog earlier in the film.
Yeah, you're right. Like, kill them
all. That was just an expression.
I'm going to go pierce the dog. I got to spoop my pants. I got to go pierce the dog.
It works.
I think this episode will be famous for giving birth to spooping, Eric. Are you happy about that?
That's right.
We created spooping.
Family friendly. Eric Siska.
I am very family friendly, as in I will be nice to your family if I have to see them.
Yeah, family friendly like a family from a fucking Rob Zombie movie.
Oh, shit, a hellbilly family.
So, Jared Leto's like, we can't have this party here, man. The killer's around or whatever. And, Michael Rosenbaum gives him a bunch of shit. He's like, you probably did this yourself because you had one big scoop. At one point in this movie, I'm sorry, when he gets suspended, when he gets removed from the paper, he's like, he goes up to Alicia Witt. He's like, well, my whole career is ruined now. I'm not going to have enough writing samples to get a good newspaper job. I'm like, this is a school paper. Like,
yes.
It's good to write in a school paper if you want to get into journalism. You need one of those articles. Like, yes. You're not going to go to the New York fucking Times.
Go
and be like,
intern somewhere.
Exactly.
You got the story where you almost won the student Pulitzer. Just use that one.
You're coasting. And also, by the way, the only way you get that job is if you have connections. That's the way you get the New York Times internship, by the way.
While this party is going on, mm-hmm. we cut to Reese, our security officer, and she's like snooping around an administration building. She runs into creepy janitor for 2 seconds, but she's made hip to a noise from Robert Englund's office.
Oh.
And she goes in and she just falls on a pool of blood, and then we just cut back to the party.
Yep, that's good.
Seems like you needed it in there. I mean, this movie's like 99 minutes. Yeah, sure.
And she calls the police, and the cop is like, well, I'm sorry, miss. I would love to.
I know you're on my invisible typewriter.
Jackass.
I was told that every call from this entire 3-mile radius would be a prank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A homicide in progress. Yeah, right, lady.
So Parker gets, and this is like, we're an hour into this movie, and I'm like, you know, this movie's a lot like that movie Scream that I saw. But we're avoiding one clear trope, and we've done a good job so far.
Yeah.
And then the fucking phone rings, and Michael Rosenbaum picks it up, and this guy, this voice out of nowhere is like, what's your favorite urban legend? And I'm like, come
dude,
on, movie.
Fuck you,
were there.
Hard.
You were there. You were close.
So close. We almost got to the finish line without a direct theft. Like, steal stylistically all you want, but this is direct theft.
Wes Craven's like, oh, you know what? Fuck it, man. This movie sucks.
Somewhere around here, Tara Reid has to like run out of the party because she's got to be on the air.
Yes, but Michael Rosenbaum gets a call. He's like, "You ever hear the urban legend about the dog in the microwave?"
Yep.
And the dog's in the microwave. It's all bloody.
Splat City.
So during this party, yes. she runs in there, grabs this dog away from its Spud McKenzie-esque drinking habit, and throws it into a microwave, closes it in a kitchen, which is, by the way, one of the most populated areas of any good party.
Sure.
That's where the beer is, right?
And I mean, she's doing this all in her Iron Man suit with the parka over it.
So
Rebecca Gayhart built that parka in a cave with a bunch of scraps.
And then Rosenbaum gets his own right here.
Because he's like, oh, I'm gonna, and it's the same thing from Scream. Like, I'm going to kick, I got a boyfriend and he plays football and he's going to kick the shit out of you.
And like, he's so disgusted by what happened to his dog. He runs up a flight of stairs, vomits in a toilet. We have brief toilet cam.
Nice. Yeah.
Unnecessary. Even grosser detail. Toilet cam with a fucking cigarette butt just floating in the water.
I think this entire movie should be told from the perspective of a toilet bowl.
Oh, man, it'd be like that movie. It's like that movie with a Time Code. It's like a splitway, and one is just the toilet.
Just
like,
focus on that toilet.
It's just people using the toilet for the entire film.
Please,
it's called Urban
do
Legend.
Do not use that device for Fat University.
No, absolutely not. Exactly. Oh, I've got to take a spoop.
It's a cheeky situation.
It's a niche audience, but they're going to come back to the theater every other weekend.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, it's always the busiest after KFC week.
Yikes. Double down.
So, again, Rebecca Gayhart, built like a fucking linebacker, grabs this dude's head, rips it back, throws a beer bong into his mouth.
This is after knocking him unconscious, by the way, because he's tied to the toilet.
That's right. She's beating the shit out of this dude.
She's just fucking slugging people.
And she puts Pop Rocks in it. And the thing is, like, oh, yeah, it's the Pop Rocks thing.
But it's Pop Rocks and Drano. Like, don't even use the Pop Rocks. Yeah, Drano kills people.
Save that delicious, delicious candy for another kill.
But Drano, it's not an urban legend. It's just, you know, Darwinism or whatever.
Yeah, Pop Rocks. I mean, she has to, you know, give reference to the canon.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's well, it's just kind of a little bit. I mean, she's stretching. I mean, this is like the end of the syllabus.
Yeah.
I mean, she's really stretching for a topic.
That parking garage thing, I'm already off her.
Exactly.
I mean, she's just doing nothing.
I was done at the hanging.
At the hanging.
That's not a thing.
And then she goes, books it to the other end of campus, starts harassing Tara Reid for 20 minutes.
Who's on the air. She's got like a headset so she can like... The whole movie, she's seen like sauntering around her studio, like with this wireless headset, so she can like, she doesn't have to be like tied to a mic. She can walk around while she's pontificating all this cum chugging advice.
Oh,
and like, that's what it is.
That is what it is.
That is most
I'm
of it.
Sorry
actually.
That we have to say
the
that.
The first time she's seen in this fucking movie, she rips the pop guard off a microphone and starts filleting it.
Yes.
That's what this movie is, gang. I'm not making this up.
So she's
this is the longest chase scene.
It
in
is.
The movie.
I mean, and it's, you know, you're doing, I guess, is like I read the same Wikipedia article Eric did. Apparently, this is another urban legend wherein a woman gets killed on the radio and everyone thinks it's a bit.
Yes. Yeah, that's
it's
something.
It's called War of the Worlds.
For my next radio program, I'm going to murder a woman on the air, and everyone will think it's just a clever show of one Orson Welles.
And last night, yes, I did have to get my stomach pumped. You know why.
Be right back after these messages.
Oh, there's sponsorship?
1-877 Cars for Kids. Cars for Kids.
You know, the French champagne.
She gets fucking killed. Alicia Witt shows up just in time to watch it happen.
Yeah.
And, like, this is when the movie, like, you can trim 8 minutes off this movie. That'd be nice. The cat and mouse back and forth.
The truck fight? There's an out-and-out truck fight in this movie.
So basically, it culminates, Alicia Witt, Jared Leto, and Rebecca Gayheart get into a car.
Leto's car.
They go to a gas station. By the way, not an insignificant detail, poor fucking Brad Dourif is cooling his heels in jail this entire movie.
Oh, yeah. Dude, he is sent to jail and never heard from again.
Nope.
Also, coincidentally, I think they go to the gas station that the woman at the beginning of the movie drove by.
Oh, man, the good gas station.
Yeah, she went to some rundown piece of shit. They're at a Sheetz.
Let's just wait for a Speedway.
So, while Jared Leto's in the gas station to get to call the police or something, and they're like, yes, sir, it's a prank. I'm sorry, I'd love to come out there, but the deed said it's a prank. No, so they open the trunk, and oops, Robert Englund's in there. They're like, oh my God, Jared Leto, blah, blah, blah. They wind up getting back to this big, spooky, haunted house for some reason.
After a run through the woods.
It's like 20 minutes. In this house, Alicia Witt finds all of the bodies. This is very, I know what you did last summer.
Oh, it's also very, it's Halloween.
Yes.
Rebecca Gayheart is laying down on the bed like Annie Brackett in the end of Halloween, supposed to be like Judith Myers with the headstone.
Gotcha.
Totally ripped.
I was thinking, oh fuck, she's alive. Oh fuck, she's alive.
Oh, right. Somebody call somebody. she finds all the dead bodies, which, by the way, Rebecca Gayheart, again, bless her soul, is bench pressing all these bodies and lifting the dean, this 60-year-old dean.
I'm sorry, there needs to be like a witchcraft angle or
yes,
something.
Yes,
absolutely.
You know,
dude,
light
you
as
just
a feather,
her,
hard as
like,
a board.
She's like waving a wand and like the dean's dead, tall, old man body.
Oh, does a Weekend at Bernie's walk?
Yes. Oh, maybe that's what it is, dude. Yeah. Calypso music.
Definitely. Well,
she also does heavy-duty design. Joshua Jackson's in, like, a Hellraiser closet. There's, like, chains and hooks.
I don't know what... Like, that guy got double murdered.
How she got all these bodies into this creepy house, whatever. Yes, Alicia Witt finds Rebecca Gayheart on the bench. She's like, oh, Rebecca Gayheart, wake up. And it was Rebecca Gayheart the whole time.
She's like crying. She's sitting there with her back to the quote unquote corpse.
Yeah.
Rebecca Gayheart sits up and starts like attacking her. We get the whole parlor thing. Apparently, she was like engaged to be married to the dude that Alicia Witt and the friend from the beginning ran off the road.
By the way, this is some of the worst acting you'll ever see.
Oh, absolutely.
Rebecca Gayheart's fine for most of the movie, you know, just a regular, you know, teen actress-ish kind of thing.
Yeah.
But man, it's that like, I'm being loopy fucking crazy. Give that girl a dollar prize because I'm fucking nuts.
Well, because it's we fucking saw Scream and yeah. it's like you just got to overact like Matthew Lillard did. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Even though, like, that overacting is part of, like, the Stu Marker character.
That's the Matthew Lillard trademark.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
No, but it's Matthew Lillard doing Matthew Lillard.
Doing his thing. His non-shaggy thing.
Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's bad, man. It's fucking bad genes. And she's got a fucking slideshow, by the way. She's a,
yep. She takes out the carousel. Well, when you see your life ruined, one slide at a time.
What are you doing?
I was doing a Don Draper, a bad Don Draper.
I can see. I was thinking more. Do you see? You are witnessing a great becoming. I am Rebecca Gayheart.
You know, most of that show was a bad Don Draper. That guy was a bad guy.
He was a nasty Dick Whitman dude.
And Jared Leto shows up and like. Because Rebecca Gayheart is in love with Jared Leto for some reason. Oh, I mean, how could you not be, right?
Well, we're made hip to that, to backtrack just very briefly, because it's another important way to date this movie to the letter. At that party, Alicia Witt is making out with Jared Leto after all their investigation adventures.
Sure.
But Rebecca Gayheart has told Alicia Witt already that she's like crushing on him or whatever.
Yeah.
So she gets pissed off, and as she's exiting this house party... What is on the soundtrack blaring for all the campus to hear? Cherry Poppin' Daddy, Zoot Suit Riot.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And she sits on the porch and is crying, and it's just like, throw back a bottle of beer.
Well, see, Rebecca Gayheart should know that, like, this thing, even if she is with Leto, it's not going to last for long. Eventually, she's going to fucking hook up with Christopher Moltisanti.
I roll a comb through your coal black hair.
So. Man, that song sucks.
It sucks ass.
That was our song.
You know,
my fiance that you killed.
We were going to walk down the aisle after we were wed to Zoot Suit Riot.
I was going to come into the church to Squirrel Nut Zippers.
In the afterlife. You know, actually, there's the only way, if you get the non-radio edit of Zoot Suit Riot, and you play, it's Pinhead, and he goes, I have such wonderful songs to show you. Because it's from hell.
Yeah,
See, the urban legend I heard, it was from Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Oh,
yes.
So
you and me and the bottle makes three tonight. 1997 was terrible.
A dark time for everyone.
So, am I watching Swingers right now?
Oh God!
Late Clinton, not good.
So she winds up, Jared Leto tries to flirt with her, and he's like, yeah, I'm in on it, baby. Don't worry about it. We'll kill her.
Oh, that's right.
And I'll get the real Pulitzer this time.
It's so dumb. It's like, let's team up. We can, like, frame whoever they're going to frame. We'll be a team.
Yeah.
I think he throws in something about being rich beyond their wildest dreams just for good measure.
Sure, of course. But she figures that out. She's like, you're a bad liar, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Loretta Devine shows up. She, like... tries to cuff her. There's a scuffle. She shoots her in the back, you know.
At some point, Loretta Devine is, like, slashed in the side or something.
Yeah, and also, like, guess what? Rebecca Gayheart is not getting one over on Loretta Devine either. No, I'm sorry.
Please. No, no.
I'm sorry, everybody.
But also, Loretta Devine's character should be killed in this movie.
Yes.
She's the best character, but she should sacrifice her life to save these terrible kids. I know where you're going with this, so go right ahead.
She's the only character that carries over in the second one.
Oh,
and she is a major part of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's a bigger character in that movie than she is in this one.
Good
dude,
for her.
They knew what the audience was returning for.
Well, I'll buy a ticket. Loretta Devine better be fucking in it.
I better see my favorite security guard in this movie.
And who? The girl from House?
Oh, right. Jennifer Morrison's the main character, right?
Yikes.
Oh, boy.
Dude.
And your friend from Hell on Wheels, the main guy.
Anson Munt, also known as Bohannon.
Yes, Bohannon.
So, whatever. They wind up... she falls out a window, and they think it's over. And then, by the way, Loretta Devine is bleeding to death, right?
Yes.
She's bleeding to death. We cut... It's Jared Leto driving in the rain with Alicia Witt, and she's like, is Reese going to be okay? Reese is Loretta Devine. He's like, yeah, ambulances are coming after her. We're just leaving the scene of a quadruple homicide. Don't worry about it.
It's like so fucking stupid.
The end of this movie needs to be them in those fucking blankets in the back of
an ambulance. Those foil blankets. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give me those foil blankets big time.
Look, Alicia, I put the note in her pocket. They're going to find it, and they'll know that we left.
I'm very hungry right now.
I accidentally wrote, we'll do it again.
Whoops. Do you think, like, because what happens is, like, she gets shot again and she falls out the window.
Yeah.
Do you think that they were like, and then Alicia Witt and Jared Leto look out the window and she's gone and Cherry Pop and Daddy starts playing again? And they were like, no, that's like, you're directly ripping off the very end of Halloween.
Sure.
Oh, right. Well, let's leave this woman bleeding to death and just put them in a car for no reason.
Exactly. It's either tacked on like a bad, maybe it was a bad like first showing kind of a thing or test audience situation. Like,
yeah, classic test audience fail.
It makes no sense why you would speed away from this woman who saved your life. But whoops, who's in the back seat? Up to her old tricks. Rebecca Gayhart with the world's biggest axe.
It's another, I think she stole Freddy Krueger's axe this time.
But, you know, big set piece. She goes through the window off a bridge. The bridge explodes. They roll over the car and throw her over a bridge. No, she goes through the window into the water. And like, wow, the movie is over.
And we see her floating face up down the river and whatnot. And then we cut to, it's like, I don't know, a year later, whatever the fuck it is. It's another group of even more nobodies.
Sure.
And they're just telling this tale. Although this must be sometime later. There's a black gentleman sitting here.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. So the school's trying to figure itself out.
Yeah.
And it's just these nobodies, and they're telling the story of the movie. And it's like, yeah, and that's the story of the super urban legend.
Wait, what?
So the movie was fake?
I'm sorry. What I just have to say, because my favorite, they say urban legend a million times in this movie. Like,
yes.
You can't even count it. But at one point, at the end of the movie, when Rebecca Gayhart is about to kill Alicia Witt, she's like, you know what I'm going to do to you, Alicia Witt? It's my favorite UL. It's the it's the kidney in a bathtub bit.
Oh, right.
Yes.
But like, in the biz, we call it ULs. Like, you know what I mean? If you're in the know, you just call it a UL.
Can
I
tell
you?
UL message boards.
I missed that line, but all through my notes, I just kept writing UL.
Oh, wow. You're in the biz.
I guess so.
Well, UL is big on the three guys who wrote books on urban legends and still live with their parents.
That's the saddest convention you'll go to.
We get one of the women who's telling the story is like, oh, yeah, next thing you're going to tell me that the killer was the Noxzema girl, which is like, thud.
That sucks. That almost sucks more than the Dawson's Creek joke.
Because it's the end of the movie. This is like, you know, it stays in your mouth.
I am waiting anxiously to rip this tape out of the VCR and drive back to Blockbuster as fast as I can.
Precisely.
Do not give me the scene, and do not give me fucking winky jokes in the last 2 minutes of the movie.
Oh, this went in the slot. I wasn't handing this to anybody. This was in the overnight slot. Fuck you. Fuck you for making me watch.
You show up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You make sure nobody's around. You spray paint the fucking security cameras. You don't want anybody to know you rented this movie.
I want to call. I might call the next day and say, make sure you got it.
And
this is the worst.
At the end,
the worst thing.
You're not going to believe this, you guys.
Wait,
She's there, and she's like, and by the way, that's not how that story went at all. Let me tell you how it really happened.
Dude.
Credits.
Oh, man. And it's also okay, listen up, guys.
Yeah.
And you're like,
and it's the killer, right?
Yeah, it's her. It's Rebecca Gayhart.
Yay. She lived, and the movie was better in her story we're not hearing.
And then she doesn't return for the sequel.
No.
Bizarre.
Kind of fucking funny.
I think she might be in a flashback, possibly.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
someone's inspired by her work.
Oh, that's how that goes.
Copycat.
Huh?
Sure.
What did you say?
Copycat.
Oh, yes, of course. Get Sigourney Weaver on the case.
Mm. Yeah, previous episode.
And that's the end of this movie. Would anybody recommend it?
I would. It's one of your classic, like,
You read the Amazon description, and it's exactly that. It's exactly what it says it is.
Yeah.
No more, no, a little too more, but no less.
Certainly no surprises.
It's actually kind of like a perfect amalgamation. A, it's a Scream ripoff, and like you said, it's that late 90s Screamiverse thing. But it's also kind of in the mold of those like early 80s slashers, whodunits. We're avenging an old tragedy.
Yeah,
probably that's filmed in soft lens, kind of like a Prowler or
yeah, like
Fool's
the Prowler,
Day.
Graduation Day, Final Exam, all of those.
Cutting Class,
April Fool's Day. Oh yeah, Cutting Class with Brad Pitt.
It just it reminds me so much of one of those movies.
Yeah, totally.
Skip it. Bad death. Like I didn't like any of the deaths.
Oh wow, all right.
I kind of was let down by almost. And my God, I mean, you have to deal with so much of Jared Leto.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, like, okay, if you have a high tolerance for him, fine.
High tolerance.
That's great, but like, I can't do this.
You're like, I've watched every Jared Leto movie. My Leto tolerance is through the roof.
I can't deal with this. I'm sorry.
I would say if you want to like scratch that particular like 90s itch, like you've seen Scream a bunch and you want to see something that's very similar, you know, I mean, it's fine. It's if you got nothing else.
Yeah. I mean, I would recommend it. Soft recommend, I guess. It's fine. But like, I was on Wikipedia, keeping a list of some of these things, but like, The House on Haunted Hill remake. Well, like, listen to these movies. The Rage, Carrie 2, Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2, Dracula 2000, Final Destination, Ginger Snaps, Lost Souls, the sequel to this called Final Cut, Scream 3, Jason X, Jeepers Creepers, Scary Movie, 13 Ghosts, The Faculty, Halloween H2O, the I Still Know What You Did Last Summer's, Fear.com, Halloween Resurrection, The Forsaken. All of these are like bad 90s soundtracks, bad Old Navy costumes, and snappy scripts, more or less. There's a whole genre of these things.
A lot of those scratch my... I'm a scream head, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So am I. And it's like, so that's why this is like, fine.
Yes.
But don't, you know, bend over backwards to check it out or anything like that. And that is Urban Legend, everybody. The second to last of the 2018 Spooktacular episodes, directed by Jamie Blanks, of course. If you want more We Hate Movies, head on over to patreon.com/WeHateMovies. It is chock full of bonus content, whether it be bonus episodes like Van Helsing, which is out now.
Or Ready Player One, if you haven't gotten around to it. Bright, Man of Steel, Ghost Rider, Spirit of It. There's tons and tons.
Eric, are we having a commentary that might be up for horror fans?
That's right. Coming out by the end of the month or so is Nightmare on Elm Street Remake-mentary. We will be talking over that disgusting remake of Nightmare on Elm Street with... What's the actor's
Jackie
name again?
Earl Haley.
Yes, the creep from Doll Man. Everyone knows him from
you
Doll
know what?
Man.
J-E-H, excuse me.
I've been given, I gave Rebecca Gayhart a lot of shit this episode. She could take Jackie Earl Haley in a fight like that. She'd drop him like a bag of rocks.
That's actually true. That I would like to see. Now that's a crossover.
If she's like, she got him in her news, she's lifting him all the way up.
And by the way, nary a snappy line of dialogue to be found in that screenplay.
No.
What a cruel movie. Like us on Facebook, I guess. Follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast. And of course, right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Steve Sadek, for the final Spooktacular episode of 2018, what are we going out on?
It's going to be a Steve Sadek loves movies. It's Wishmaster.
Oh, shit. A lot of franchises this year. I love it.
By the way, also, I believe Robert Englund is also in that movie.
Yeah,
he is. So. And Kane Hodder's in Wishmaster, isn't he?
I believe so. All the booger men.
Oh,
a lot of weird little combos around there.
A lot of booger men.
So until next week, with more Boogerman than you can stomach, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Legend.
Take it easy.
There you go.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes death is better.
Time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You sick fucks, you've seen one too many movies.
Nah, Sid! Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
What's the
exorcism.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.